Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're ready to get back in this book of Job. Poor old Job. You know, if a person ever thinks the world came in on him, Job's a good one to read because inasmuch as our Father lets us know what the score is, poor old Job didn't. But Job never gave up on our Father. And that's a good lesson for you to learn. God, all things work to the good for those that love the Lord. Don't ever forget that saying. It just does. That's the way it is. And read Romans 8 if you ever want to read it firsthand. All things work to the good for those that love the Lord. Meaning, and that's what God, the main reason being, that's what God wants from us is love. That's what He created us for. And you know, it doesn't take a wise person too long to realize, hey, pour it on him and you're blessed. But you can't, it can't be a frivolous or a fake love. Hey, he knows the difference and he likes the genuine thing. Job's friends have been giving him really a hard time. The last speaker especially, come right out and called him a liar. And Job seemed to think, well, there's no doubt when you people die, all the wisdom will leave the earth. It was kind of sarcastic, was it not? But he tells them in the 13th chapter where we had covered down to verse 9, he said, you're really playing God. You're not answering my questions. You're not telling me the reason for my problem, but you're judging me. And that's all you're doing. And all these little frivolous sayings about repent and be forgiven, though it's wonderful, I know that. I'm not one whit behind you, he had said. So we pick it up in verse 9 of chapter 13 where he's telling him again, you're trying to play God and do the judging rather than a friendship. Verse 9, chapter 13, book of Job, and it reads, is it good that he should search you out? Or, as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock him? You want to try to, do you quib with God? You think that's going to pay off? Of course, the answer, as if he were a man? I think not. Verse 10. He will surely reprove you if you do secretly accept persons. In other words, if you try to set yourselves as persons that judge and put yourself in God's place, you're going to get knocked down. You're going to be reproved. Verse 11, shall not His excellency make you afraid? Question. And His dread fall upon you? Of course it will. Verse 12, your remembrances, I would rather have translated this, your pompous talks, is like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Your defenses are going to crumble like clay. And in the ultimate, in the long run, of course, what it meant was, if they weren't careful, that's all that would be left. Verse 13, hold your peace. Let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. In other words, he's getting fed up with this ratchet jaw stuff of telling him he's the sinner of all sinners, that he should repent and God will bless him. Everything will be fine. That isn't his problem. He wants to know why it happened. He wants to know, in his mind, why God is unhappy with him. Well, God was happy with him. God was rooting for him. God had made a I don't want to say a wager, but it was a contest with Satan, saying, Satan says, I can take Job. God says, I don't think you can. And of course, Satan had said, well, you take all of your wall out from around him and let me get at him. And he said, okay, you can have him all but his soul, his life. You leave that alone. So Job here, basically in verse 13, has said, hey, I'll take my chances on my own. I will... and let come on me what will. I will answer to God. God knows I've been just. Verse 14. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in mine hand? I like that. He wasn't about to put it in those rascals' hands. Because, again, their ratchet jaw nonsense would get you nowhere. You, Anytime you attend a church and the combined body cannot come up with answers, rather than simply put a little salve on your lack of knowledge, a Band-Aid, rather than getting in God's Word and healing that is unknown or ignorant. God's Word will always be healing and blessing. It won't be like these people are. He said, I'll be responsible for my own self. Verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, meaning our Father. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. I'm going to present my case right to God's face. God is the judge, not you people. Now, beloved, I would assume that a wise person would soon learn that probably from the example set forth here that God's giving us a message. And what is that message? He's not being cruel to Job. Satan is. And God picked Job as his special child, one of his elect. And he's saying, I know this person can stand. This person will trust me regardless of what you do to him. So I would say many times when things kind of get topsy-turvy in your life, hang on to that trust, because it's true, every word of it. Even if God takes your life, he has a purpose in it. Even if God takes your things, there's a purpose in it for God's election. It will always be replaced if you're willing to work for it. Verse 16. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Now, they've kind of called Job a hypocrite, all right? Saying, I'm perfect. Only Job didn't say that. He said, I'm innocent. A big difference in being perfect and being innocent. God knows that we're not capable of perfection in anything, hardly. It always falls short of the glory of God. But he accepts it as perfect when you try and when your heart is in the right place. So he's kind of telling these guys, I am not a hypocrite. And in a sense, he's betting his soul on it. Verse 17. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. He says, just please close your mouths for a little bit. Open your ears and look at me. Because they are so... ratchet joy and everything. They're not even looking Job in the eye when they give out with their message. Anytime you have a message for someone and you can't look them straight in the eye, you've got a problem, friend. 18. Behold, now I have ordered my cause, or I've ordered my case. I've got it figured to that extent that I'm going to present. I know that I shall be justified, acquitted. I know that God's going to acquit me when all is said and done, because I haven't done anything. You see, there's one thing man can do. He can read his own mind, and God can read your mind. And God, you can always trust God to know the real truth of the matter. So if you're innocent, you're going to be acquitted, period. You can hang it all out on that. That's just the way it is. And don't think you can con God. He knows for a fact. 19. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, if I keep silent, I will love the ghost. If I hold my tongue now after the way you have been talking, have you ever been in a place like that where it was time to talk, and if you didn't get it out of your system, you'd just boil over, okay? 20. Only do not two things unto me. Got that? Only do not two things unto me. Then will I not hide myself from thee. In other words, you grant me these two things. And I won't ask you to close your mouth. And I certainly won't hide anything that I have done. 21. Withdraw thine hand. And this means your heavy hand. Far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. In other words, don't heap up and pile up a bunch of nonsense of guilt when I'm innocent. 22. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. Let's debate it in a civilized way. 23. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Question. Now, what he's asking here is, don't just say I'm a sinner. He said, I want names, times, and dates. This is the way you stop gossip, incidentally. This is exactly the way you stop gossip. When somebody, well, did you hear what so-and-so said? When and who? And what day? Usually they'll say, well, I don't know. I wasn't the one that heard him say it. Somebody else did. Here he's saying, if I have sins, name them. Make me to know my transgressions and my sins. Now, that's been Job's question from the start. He knew that everything had fallen from him. He hadn't done anything. He was innocent. And again, I must insist, you're privy to what's happening. Satan's doing it because Satan hates Job. And I'm going to tell you something. Though you may dread hardships, but if Satan hates you, that's probably the best compliment you could ever be paid in this world. Even the pain that comes with it, it is one of the greatest compliments you could have, is the fact that Satan hated you. You know why? Because it means you're tearing up Satan's little nest. And praise God, that means you're a true servant of the living God. Verse 24. Wherefore hidest thou thy face? Why won't you look at me? That's what he's saying. And holdest me for thine enemy. You, why won't you face me, and why don't you stop treating me like I'm your enemy? He wasn't. He was a friend asking for help. And I don't know about you, but I like when someone is speaking to me, I want them to look at me, because the eye, why? Why? Let's discuss that a moment. The eye mirrors the soul. And when you lock eyes with someone, you're actually looking into their soul or self. And you know whether they're being fully responsive to any given situation. Always, especially if you ever go anywhere hunting a job, you look that employer straight in the eye, and even if you've never had any experience, you look him in the eye and say, I will do you the best job I can, and what I don't know, show me once, and I'll have it. You know, you show confidence, and honesty plus comes from the eye. He knows you're telling the truth. So a lot of times this is the reason, if somebody comes in with me all shifty eyes asking for work, hey, forget it. 25. I hope that wasn't a digression. I don't think it was. Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro, and wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? In other words, what they're doing, that's like chasing the wind. Have you ever seen a leaf bounce across the yard or a field? You're like chasing leaves here, or chaff, the no good stuff. What good is chaff or a broken leaf? Nothing. It's gone. It's through. It's finished. Served its purpose. And their words and questions are like chasing the wind. Job's being a little hard on them, if you understand what I'm saying. But a lot of times, you can go to a church congregational meeting, and all you're going to hear is somebody chasing leaves for an hour, because they probably won't get into God's Word. And any part of God's Word taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse will change lives, will bless people, will please God. And when God is pleased, He blesses. Verse 26. For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess, or to inherit, the iniquities of my youth. In other words, you're looking all down through my life, even back to the sins of youth, and you're trying to bring them forth and so forth. I want to know, what is my iniquity and sin right now that brought this on? Verse 27. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks. and lookest narrowly upon my paths. You watch every step I take and have. Thou sittest a print upon the heels of my feet. There's two ways you're going to have to look at this. Of course, we know what stocks are now. It's not like this means. Stocks were two boards with a hole in the middle, and you run your head or your feet through them. But here, a slave was, a log was tied to him, like you would hobble a slave or a horse, an animal. A log hobble. And the print on the foot was the mark of a slave. It could be, but I think it's more than that. I think it means that you even monitor my very footsteps, looking for trouble. You see, when a person is down and out, what they need is comfort. And they really need to know. And if you can't give them a decent answer, that will heal or change the situation, that will help them, then it's best keep your mouth shut. That's why men many times chase the wind. Yattiti, yattiti, yattiti. Ratchet jaw, ratchet jaw. That's what many might say. Well, why do you keep saying that? Because that's what God wishes you to derive from this book of Job. Don't listen to men. That means this man or any other man without checking him out in God's Word. But you can always listen to our Father and know that He will never leave thee, nor will He forsake thee. And you have to rightly divide the Word of God before it's going to make common sense to you. Meaning what? Meaning, in Job's case, if it were not known that he was one of God's elect, you would be hard-pressed to understand what's happening here. But God's election already preordained from before to do the work of God on this earth, whatever He has for us to do, whether it's drag logs, get scabs, get a sore toe, or whatever, we can cut it, we can do it. All right, so that's rightly dividing the Word to who and what the Word applies. If it were not one of God's elect, certainly God is not going to allow Satan to thump their gourd if they know, unless they are innocent. 28. And he, as a rotten thing, consumeth. He said, like me, I'm like a rotten thing consumeth as a garment that is moth-eaten. It would seem like that, in other words, my sores, as he said, heal over, and then here, bam, they break back open again, and they're going. It just seems like it's a continual flow. But he said, I trust God. Even if He kills me, I know He's my Savior. That's pretty strong medicine. I love it. I love it because it shows unshakable faith. And beloved, that's what you need, especially in this generation today. I'm going to say it again. Unshakable faith. You know that God loves you. And really, after studying Job, you know, don't blame God. God's not going to tax you. Satan will. And He has given you the ammunition and the artillery and the forces to keep Satan knocked off your back if you are salty enough to stand up and issue the ammunition. Chapter 14, verse 1. Now, this particular chapter, verses 1 through 12, kind of tell the smallness of man. And really, in the flesh, we are, compared to the world, we're very small. What can we do? We're here a day or two or, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. That's not long. It's just a whiff. And then we're gone. Man, just really in the flesh, doesn't amount to that much. But thank God we have a God-given soul that dwells within that flesh, and it's eternal if you work it right. Chapter 14, verse 1, and it reads, man that is born of a woman and is of a few days and full of trouble. And that's the way it goes. Man that is born of woman means a flesh man. All right. We could say Gabriel, the archangel. What does that word mean in the Hebrew? It means man of God. But what about that? Well, Gabriel was not born of woman. Got it? It's the man born of woman that is just for a few days. Why? Thank God we only put so much time in these flesh bodies and it's over, too. Better things come. Verse 2, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. But why? Because that's the, you want to hang on to the fact, many people, it's very difficult for them to divide the word, especially if it comes to dividing the body. Because your spirit is sharper than a two-edged sword, even as the truth. You can divide the inner man from the outer man in your mind and think on the subject God has given you. When your flesh goes into the dirt, it goes back to dirt. It's never again. But your spiritual body is eternal. That's all you're going to have afterwards. But it's, some people really are. They just, oh, my precious body. Well, hey, what's so precious about it? It's flesh. Animals are flesh. And I'm not knocking God's beautiful creation. Do not misunderstand that. The human body is placed together in such a way that it's near, it is amazing. I mean, you've got hairs here on the back of your fingers. And why is that? It's so that if you're in a close place that's just about to trap your hand, those hairs feel that and you can withdraw your hand. Or if I want to pick up this pen, he put mud chains on my fingers, meaning fingerprints that give me grip. And on it goes with these bodies. They're awesome and all that while we have them, but when we're through with them, that's it. We have a far better body. If God could create a wonderful flesh body, if there be such a thing, then think how he created the spiritual body. You talk about something. So, man, it's just pretty, the flesh is just pretty small. You use it, it's gone, all right? Just like a flower. If you don't understand, he gives a pretty good example. Watch it. It grows up. It's beautiful. And then it's gone. All right? Your little tulip wilts. Verse 3. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Or one? Who can make a perfect man out of flesh? The word one means Adam, okay? Well, from Adam to this point, there hasn't been a perfect one. Adam himself fell. There would be one to come that would be perfect, and his name would be Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ. But it's pretty difficult to bring clean out of unclean. And now think about this for a little bit. What about your flesh? I mean, you can repent and you're clean. Let's look at it in the spiritual sense for a moment. And it won't be but a few short months till you're, and you make a change and a turnabout and everything's going to be wonderful and you're going to do what's right. And in less than a few months, this flesh body, born of woman, is going to say, well, I want this, or I want that, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, and pretty soon you're going to listen to it and hear you're unclean again. Got it? All right. 5. Let's change the word seeing to if we may. If. If his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds, that he cannot pass. Man is so little that whatever God sets, that's it. 6. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. In other words, it is the mind, which is man's spirit, is the intellect of his soul. And your spirit, meaning your intellect, can bring you a lot of rest. If you have that ingredient called peace of mind. Peace of mind comes from wisdom of God's word, knowing how to tend these flesh bodies that God created with the instructions that he has sent on how you're to put it together and operate it, how it functions. You can find rest, or you can just tough it out kind of all through it, day by day, paycheck by paycheck. 7. For there is hope for of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. In other words, out of the roots you're going to get some sprouts. It's going to grow back. And that the tender branch thereof will not cease. In other words, it's not going to, a tree's not going to die in the ground. Well, when you look at it in the spiritual sense, let me hasten to say this so that we don't get some desperate people here that are not looking past the flesh. When you cut down this branch, these branches and the trunk of this tree, when it dies, a spiritual body immediately steps forth as a shoot into near perfection. If you have an immortal soul, a word to the wise is sufficient. Verse 8, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, it still happens. Now, you people that are familiar with timber, you know what he's talking about. The verse 9, let it explain. Yet, through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. It's going to do it. You know, no stump you think you got it killed. I'm going to tell you what, you don't kill a stump out that easy by cutting the tree down. If you don't put weed killer, growth killer, whatever you want to call it, it's going to grow back. There'll be little sprouts that'll come up here and there. Well, man is the same way. There is life after death. But don't forget, the tree rots back into the leaves, all right? In other words, meaning flesh man doesn't amount to much. But the perfect man that dwells within, that is to say, the spiritual man, which can attain perfection after he sheds the flesh, and don't anybody get any anxious ideas about hastening the trip, God has purpose for his elect. 10. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Well, it's you that are students of God's word know now. You know where the dead are. They're with the Father, okay? But where is the flesh? You've got to be able to divide, beloved. The flesh is dust, dirt. 11. As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up. 12. So man, and this means mortal man, lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Now that shakes some people up, wouldn't it? If you couldn't rightly divide the word to know, we're talking about the flesh body. It's not coming out of the ground. I know you got some preachers that'll say, oh, it's a great day, the horns will blow and everything, and those bodies will come ripping out of the dirt. No, dust to dust, and let dust be dust. We don't want any dirt in heaven like that. We have more beautiful bodies that are incapable of being sick, ill, injured, or anything else. You want to trade it for these flesh things? I think not. Thank God it's a graduation. It's the resurrection into the new life, not the old all over again like you'd play the same old banjo over and over. 13. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. Job's still low occasionally, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. 14, let's continue right on here. If a man die, that's to say a flesh man, okay, shall he live again? Question. Of course, you know the answer is yes. Instantly, to be absent from this body is present with the Lord in the spiritual body. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. As a soldier, this has kind of a military connotation. As a soldier is ready to march and do battle, as long as I'm here, regardless of what the conditions, I'll be ready to do battle. Who with who, beloved? Satan, of course. Satan is our enemy. And I hope and I trust that never again in your life, when things begin to go really wrong, and you've done your best. Now, most time people bring their own troubles upon themselves. So you've got to sort that little stuff out. But when it becomes so obvious, you better start digging a little deeper and get your back up. 15. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. 16. Job talking. Job continues. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? Question. I don't know. Had they seen Job's sin? Do you know what the answer to that is? No. You know why? Job hadn't sinned. Verse 17. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. From your reckoning, from what you've reckoned, or figured, or ciphered, you got it all sewed up. Got a whole bag full of troubles here. 18. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is moved out of his place. What chance has a little old man, when God, if he wants to move a whole mountain, he'll shake that thing and boulders that we don't have cranes big enough to move will come crashing down. Job's kind of getting around here. You all want to play God? Let me see some action. Let's see what you can do. You've sewed all my sins up in a bag here. 19. The waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. Frail man is what it means. Thank heavens, we know through Messiah now that we have many of the answers that even Job would not derive even when we finished the book. But Job had a pretty good idea, and Job served God well. It might do you well to think that without Christ, this is where we would be. God created a wonderful world, and I love to see rocks worn smooth as they've tumbled over time. It amazes me, quite frankly, how that time and nothing but water can whittle a hard stone into a perfect circle simply by rolling it in time. It's amazing. Now, you know, many might say, well, what in the world is he talking about? Well, that's nature and nature's way. I do find that. I find that amazing. But it shows you how frail man is. Why? Number one, back to the first. You wouldn't be here unless you had a very good tumbler. You won't be around long enough to smooth any stones. You wouldn't be able to smooth the stones that David picked up when he crossed the creek. Verse 20, a different lesson for a different time. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passeth. Thou changest his countenance and sendest him away. 21 and 22 to complete. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not. And they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. Verse 22 to complete. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. I hope you noticed, and I hope underline the word flesh there, and underline the word soul. They are two different things. And I want you to think above the flesh, or you're never going to understand the book of Job. You've got to think beyond flesh and realize it is the... Do you think Satan wants your flesh? He likes to see you misuse it, but he wants your soul. God wants your soul. Why? Because God owns your soul. As we mentioned in the last lecture, I believe it was, or the one before, In Ezekiel 18:4, God already owns your soul. You're bought and paid for. But flesh will get you in one heap of trouble, especially if you listen to... If flesh is wilts like a flower and doesn't amount to much, then if I were you, I would be very careful how I listen to flesh men. This being the point. You know, because you might get a good dose of how to chase fodder, how to chase leaves that are already dead and spent. You might have a good chance of wearing yourself out to a nubbin through your whole life and find out when you caught it, it didn't amount to anything because you didn't amount to anything. Watch your soul. Analyze your soul. That means the inner man, yourself, that yourself that will be transferred from this flesh body into a spiritual body. Learn to think and use your intellect. If you don't quite understand what I'm saying, I'm going to insist that as a home assignment, that you make a note of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and I want you to memorize that verse by heart. I want you to be able to repeat it without having to read it, because it tells you from where all wisdom comes and what the beginning of wisdom is. Where do I start? It always gives you that first budding start that allows, it's kind of like hooking up jumper cables to your soul. Proverbs, I hope I said Proverbs, I may have said Psalms. Did I say Psalms? Well, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 is like hooking up battery cables and giving your soul a jump start if it isn't running, all right? I guarantee it's running or you wouldn't be listening to me. But anyway, be that as it may, learn to discern the Word of God. The difference is things that are being addressed. Man's flesh body doesn't amount to much, so why would you lose your eternal soul over something it wanted? Satan wants your soul. Be on guard. Don't miss any of these lectures. They get better as we go along. And then we have the crowning glory of God finally saying to Job, why are you listening to these fools? Do you realize God said that? And yet, the things those fools say, preachers preach sermons over and say, that's the Word of God. I tell you, we got a long ways to go. People say, you mean you still learn things? Listen, if man, flesh man, could ever learn all of God's Word, he'd be an awesome creature, I'll tell you for sure. Thank God we all learn when we study together. All right, bless your hearts. You listen a moment, won't you please?